Let's open your Bible. And I want you to open up this morning. I want you to open up to Luke chapter 17. What? Are you? You liking that, Chuck? Really? It's amazing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I was going to say something else, but I just decided to say that one. See, you get somebody when you're preaching, you get to just, you know, throw something out there, and all of a sudden somebody gasps and says, "I was just there." Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you were. You know, I hope you were somewhere in the scripture, because that's where your life is. Amen. Your life is in the scripture. Your life is in the Word of God, because the Word of God reveals to you the kingdom of God. Amen. The Word of God reveals to you the kingdom of God. That's your window. That's your window into the kingdom of God. Is you open the Word. And then the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. Who? No, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Jesus said when He was leaving, He was going to not leave you comfortless. See, Jesus was a great comforter because He had the power of God. He had the life of God living on the inside of Him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was demonstrating what it was to live in the kingdom of heaven. He was demonstrating what it was to be a man of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? He wasn't demonstrating what it was to be the Son of God. Yeah, He did that on the cross. Amen? He did that on the cross. He demonstrated what it was to be the Son of God and then forgive your sins and then rise from the dead. That was His demonstration of His Godhood. That was the demonstration of the God, of God in Him. The demonstration of man in Him was His life filled with the Holy Ghost, living and going about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? Guess who gets to do that now? Chad. I said, guess who gets to do that now? Everybody raise your hand right now and wave them real big. There you go. See, my goodness. It's a fast bunch here. Hallelujah. Don't be nervous. I'm going to read you a few scriptures. You can write them down if you want to. I'm not going to have you turn to everything. Today we, or this week during this nation, in the course of this nation's history, we celebrate a day of, thank you. What's happening? It's Columbus, Memorial Arbor Day. No, it's Thanksgiving. Amen? We're celebrating Thanksgiving. We're celebrating the giving of thanks. Amen? It's cool to put aside a day to give thanks, to celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, so what we do in this world, we set aside one day to give thanks. Amen? We set aside one day to give thanks. Well, it's good to bring it to your attention once in a while, once in a year. It's good to do that in a nation, to set aside a period of time to do that. But as believers, we are daily giving thanks. As believers, we remember to daily give thanks. Open our mouth to give thanks to the Lord. Amen? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Just remember the Sabbath, which is the rest that God's kingdom has brought in because of Jesus. And because of you're resting from your labors. Remember, God rested from His labors. We talk about the commandments over here in our class. And so one of the commandments recently we discussed was the remember the Sabbath. What's that? Remember the rest. Remember the rest. God set aside, not a day to beat you up for working, God set aside to say, I rested. Do you think God was tired? I thought this was about Thanksgiving. God said, God rested. He wasn't tired, but He was giving an example to rest from His labor, because there was a prophetic part of what is happening in the world that He was bringing to pass, and He was showing rest. He was showing there is a rest. Hebrews 4 says there's a rest that remains available to the people of God. And the people back in the wilderness, they blew off that rest and they decided they were going to try to work it out. Or they decided to blow it off because they couldn't work it out anyway, and that's what most Christians do anyway. They just, they look good once in a while, but then you just give up. You just get tired. Amen. But God's telling you to rest from your labors. Amen. So right now we're resting, but we're also commanded to give thanks. Amen. We're commanded to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. In everything, give thanks. That's hard. That's hard to give thanks in everything. Have you ever seen everything? Anybody, have you seen everything? It's hard to give thanks in everything when you've kind of experienced a lot of it. You kind of experience a lot of everything. Anybody experienced a lot of things? Anybody experienced trouble? In the world you have trouble, but the scripture said, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Jesus said, cheer up. I have overcome the world. Put a smile on your face, silly. I've overcome the world. That's right. Now, quit looking at the world. Look at the Lord. Look at Jesus. Look at His finished work. Look at His finished work and begin to give thanks. Quit looking out there. Quit looking out at the trouble. Quit looking at the problem. Quit looking at all of those things. In the world, this is an acknowledgement. In the world, Daniel, you have problems. But cheer up. You're not in the world.
Yes, I am. I'm out there in the world every day.
Now it's your body and your flesh and your brains. You are not in the world. You are in Christ. See, what I'm doing is like when Peter said, I'm going to bring these things to your remembrance until I'm dead, so that when I'm dead, you'll have these things in your remembrance, and you'll be able to commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we just, from generation to generation, we continue to tell these things. We continue to tell them. We teach our children, and then our children teach their children what the Word of God is and what the prophecies of God are, and what the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit is. Amen? So we're teaching our children. Now, whether they get it the first run, the second run, the third run, it's in them. So don't get nervous. Amen? Don't get nervous.
Well, my kids just don't look like,
hey, keep thanking God. Keep thanking God. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. See, the encouragement to you today is this, is to give thanks. No matter whether you feel like it or not, no matter whether it looks like it or not. Well, no matter whether it looks like it or not, quit looking at what it looks like and start looking at what God promised. Start looking at what God's already done on the inside of you and give thanks. Amen? Hallelujah. See, we're encouraging one another. The Bible says to encourage one another unto love and to good works. Build one another up. Encourage one another. Well, they'll never make it. Well, that's a good encouragement, Well, I saw so-and-so the other day down there. They'll never make it. When Lori's talking about the ministry out there to the homeless. I mean, it'd be easy to say, this person will never make it. No, but you keep going out there. Jesus kept going out there every day and put the Word of God out. And demonstrated the Word of God and the kingdom of God. When I say the founders, I'm not talking about George Washington. I'm talking about the folks who came over to be freed from a religious oppression, to be able to worship God according to the dictates of their own conscience. Say, the ones we celebrated, the Puritans or the Pilgrims, and those who, I mean, hundreds of years before the nation was birthed as a nation with a name on it. They came over some people came over, of course, for business and various other things. But we have the testimonies of those who came specifically for one purpose, is to be freed to worship God according to how God was in them to worship. Amen? And that's what you and I are. That's what this freedom is. That's the freedom that God gave every man at the cross in Jesus Christ. Every man has freedom to worship God. Nobody can tell you not to worship God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you begin to worship Him, you begin to thank Him, you begin to talk about Him. They can't tell you not to say His name in public. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, God made the place, for crying out loud. Amen. This is God's house. This is God's house. This is God's church. This is God's cow right here, Yeah, man, we got God's cow, you know, out there at the office. There's God's cow, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. We call him Norman. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great cow. You've got everything. Everything is made by him. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We got one of them. And he owns the hills too. Amen. He owns the gold under the hills. He owns the clouds over the hills. This is God's world. This is my Father's world. Over here in Ezra chapter 3. And like I said, you can write some of these down. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Amen. The foundation of the house of the Lord has been laid. What foundation is that? Who is that? Jesus! The cornerstone, the foundation of the house of God is laid. Now, in their case, they were rebuilding the temple. They were rebuilding the house of God. And so they're hearing the word of God. They're hearing the word of God preached. And they were giving praise and glory and thanksgiving to God because of the word of God, because of the testimony of God. Every day there's a testimony of God for you, because his word is true every day. You open his word and allow him to speak to your heart, because the Holy Spirit changes you. I'm going to read that again. And they sang together by chorus in praising, sang verses, and it's almost like a round, you know. And they sang together in chorus in praising and giving thanks to the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel, toward you, toward the people of God. And all the people shouted with a great shout. Let's try that. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You can try that once in a while. Amen. And break the cobwebs loose. Amen. And they praised the Lord with a great... All the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house was laid. Ephesians 5:20. If you want to write these down, you can. I suggest that, because that way you can go back and read them later, see, because I don't think you're going to memorize them all. Amen. Yeah, that was Ezra 3:11. This is Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always. Always and in all ways. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, giving thanks always in all ways. Well, the Bible's good stuff. I mean, it basically makes it easy, doesn't it? I mean, you can go back and open the thing right up. You can go right to it. Hallelujah. See, God gave you his word. God delivered to you his word. But not only did he deliver to you his word, he delivered to you the Holy Spirit. I believe this, that Paul, the apostle, was filled with the word of God. Remember how he talked about it? He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Top gun, big shot. Pastor Jim had 3 degrees. He's got 10. He's got degrees out the degree. But it was nothing. What did it result in? Destruction. All that education in God's word resulted in destruction, until the Holy Spirit illuminated that word. What happened? What happened? What happened when the Holy Spirit illuminated the word of God that was in the inside of a wicked man? Broke the barriers. What did it produce? This word? That's right, but this whole New Testament. Amen? I mean, the mystery of the gospel revealed, and that's what happens to you. The Word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit, illuminates the mystery of God. It brings the mystery of God into your daily existence. It brings it to that Word of God and illuminates it, brings you a daily walk, a daily understanding of who God is. Now quit looking for specifics. Just begin to give thanks. I want to tell you to begin to give thanks on a regular basis, out of your mouth. Amen? To be transformed, because it'll transform you. It'll transform you. Giving thanks will transform you. I mean, we only have a good opportunity to have this message, because we're coming to this day of Thanksgiving. But I tell you what, this is not a day, this is not an annual thing. This is a daily thing. Amen? It's like remembering the rest. If you'll remember the rest that God provided, you will cease from your labors and allow Him to do His labor. His labor is to produce the Word of God on the inside of you. His labor is to produce the fruit that is impossible for you to produce. That's what He's doing. He is, if you will rest, anybody have a little kid try to help you do something? You're so busy trying to keep a little kid out of trouble that not much gets done, otherwise gets done. Amen? No, stop. No. Stop that, or try to get up under the lawnmower and fix it or something, No, get under there. And so, but God wants you to rest. He don't want you to produce. He wants you to rest, and He's going to produce in you. You have to understand, you are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in season, and whatsoever you do will prosper. That's what you are. You're like a tree planted, and the living God is growing up through you, the water of heaven. The water of the Holy Spirit is transforming and bringing forth fruit. Amen? See, the reason we talk about these things over and over, my goodness, we just talk about the same thing, over and over again, so that you might hear it. Amen? You need to bring it to your own remembrance. You need to bring these things to your own remembrance. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet or prepared us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're giving thanks to God for all things, in all things. We're giving thanks because He has made us, prepared us to be partakers. Amen? That is, all of our sins are forgiven. Do you know all your sins are forgiven? What about the one I did yesterday? Is that one gone? Yes, it is. So repent right now. Repent means turn. Repent just means turn around and go the other way. Repent means you get a better offer. Amen? Now, I was going to go with you, but I'm not going to go with you anymore. I'm going to go over here. That's a better offer. I got a better offer. I'm going to go with the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to go with the Lord my God. He's touched me. He's transformed me. He's given me that thing which I could never gain myself. Amen? Which is peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm giving thanks. Now, listen, just begin to give thanks just daily. Just begin, Father, I just thank you. Just as you go. Amen? Just as you go. Just throughout the day. Learn how to just worship God and thank God throughout the day, under your breath. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, just say, Father, I just thank you. You're walking from office to office. You're walking from one field to another field. You're walking from one place to another place. And you, Father, I thank you that you just love me so much. Amen? Write yourself a little list of things to give God thanks for. Just make it up. Amen? Will you do that? How many of you are under 15? One guy. You under 15? Raise your hand real high so I can see it. If you're under 15, praise the Lord. How about if you're under 17? Raise them again. If you're under 17, all right, praise the Lord. If you're under 20, it's too late for you. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's you know what I mean. If you're above that rate, it's too late for you. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, it's never too late for you. How many of you are under 90? Okay, I better see where your hand is placed, but we're gonna have a repentance for liars. or ignorant people, one or the other. Hallelujah. Now listen, you need to begin to give thanks. Make up a list, okay? Especially when you're young, you need to make up a list. You need to learn how to do these things. How many of you learned how to tie your shoes before you were 10? All right, now, what you should be doing is tying your shoes and praising God. Pride, tying your shoes and thanking God. First thing you can thank God is for tying your shoes. Thank God I know how to tie my shoes. Amen, Dave? Praise the Lord. I know how to tie my shoes. Thank God for that. You know you should thank God for that. You've got fingers. Some folks may not have fingers. Huh? There's some folks who may not have fingers to tie their shoes. I want you to begin to thank God for everything you can think of. Amen? Thank God for flip-flops. Hey, make up your own list. Amen. Thank God. I want you to begin to thank God. Just make up a little list of nothing. Justin, just make it up. Thank God for Jet. You know? Thank God. Hallelujah. Just learn how to thank God. Just write it down. I'm giving you some practical things. Just begin to put things down and then just walk around with it and memorize it, or if you have to. Just, Father, I just thank you for this, and I thank you for that. I thank you for this pew I'm sitting in. I thank you today for your word. I thank you for Jim Robbins here every day. I mean, every Sunday he's out there just blessing people and just loving them. And he's no good, but I mean, he's just loving Jesus and just loving people. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not because of Jim. It's because of the Holy Spirit. It's just being faithful to what God told you to do. Just be faithful. Amen. I thank God for changing my whole career, Josh. I just thank God for changing my whole career because you've loved me and blessed me and given me everything that pertains unto life and godliness. I thank you, Lord God. Just one thing at a time. Just one thing to thank God for. Amen? Hello. Thank God. Thank Him. Open your mouth and thank Him. Just walking around. Father, I thank you for that bush over here. I thank you for that plant. Just practice thanking God. See, it'll change your life. Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till you have something to thank God for. Make your little list. Work off of that. Amen? Thank God I woke up today. Thank God the sun rose today. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God I rose up from the dead today. Isn't it like every day is like a resurrection, isn't it? I mean, just like Jesus laying in the tomb. Boink. My eyes opened up. Glory to God. Stone rolled away. Some days the blanket's heavier than the stone. Hallelujah. Dear God, get me out of here. If you got a wife, she'll help you. Go to work, buddy. Some of you guys, you're doing the same thing. You're saying to your wife, go to work, honey. Praise the Lord. All right. Giving thanks unto the Father who's made us, prepared us, made us meet, made us righteous to be partakers. See, He's made you righteous. He has, in fact, declared you to be right in right standing with the Father. He has declared you, Angela, you're in right standing with God. He loves you. He's not looking at anything else. He's not looking at all your crummy sins. Amen? He's just loving you because He loves you. And you took Him up on His promise. Amen? You said, you know, I'll take that Jesus. I'll take Jesus. I'll take His sacrifice because I know I'm a wicked sinner. You might not even know how wicked your sins are, but God will show you. It'll be okay. Settle that. She doesn't quite know yet. Amen. But God's working on her. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, her dad had to learn how much God had forgiven him. Amen. He's just an average guy, you know. In the natural, I mean, he's totally wicked, but, you know. God is good. He loves you so much. You know, and there's nobody in here better than anybody else. You all start from the same dirt. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, you got those guys on the street being ministered to. They might just had different opportunities than you did. Or they had more guts than you did to sin wickedly. You was just a chicken. So you didn't sin outwardly as much. You're afraid you was going to get hurt, you know. You're like me, you know. I'm going to think it, but I ain't going to do it. I saw what happened to him. I saw what happened to her. Amen. So I'm just, you know, have pleasure in them that do them. You know, Romans 1, you know. Some of them, they didn't do it. They just had pleasure. They just like to watch, you know. And just, yeah, okay, I'm not going there. I wish I could. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You're all the same. And you what to begin to do, listen, and since you're all the same, what you want to do is begin to give thanks. Amen? Giving thanks. Because since you're all the same, the giving thanks is going to have the same result. The giving thanks is going to have the same result. You're going to be changed. You begin to thank God, you're going to be changed from the inside, Debbie. You're going to be changed from the inside. Giving thanks, you're going to be changed from the inside, Crockett. Amen? Giving thanks, you're going to be changed. Don't get upset if I don't call your name. It means I just don't know who you are. Wyatt. Thank God. Who? Oh, yeah, okay. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, you want me to thank God for... Oh, that one too, yeah. Oh, that's the guy you were talking about? Yeah, now I'm hurt. Thank God that I'm hurt. I said, thank God that I'm hurt. Well, how could you say that, brother? I'd say, thank God that I'm hurt because I just realized I'm sinful. I'm wicked. I'm sitting here getting my feelings hurt when God's given me everything. Amen? Listen. Self-pity. Glory to God. You got a self-pity going on? Huh? In the name of Jesus. Thank God for self-pity. Thank God that He put it in the Word that I'd never know that I was a self-pitiable person. I was pitying myself. Oh, man, poor me. I'm in such sad conditions and sad straits. You know what? God died for you. He prepared you to be a partaker of the saints in light. He prepared you. Amen? So what He wants to do is show you your sin so you can get free from it. Amen? Well, look, here's this. Look, what was this? This was a, you know, anybody ever have a splinter? And it hurt and you didn't know where it was or what it was, how it got in there? But then all of a sudden, somebody come in and help you pull that out. And all of a sudden, man, glory to God, it's done. It's out. You had something on the inside of you that just eaten you alive, and God took it out. God showed you what it was. You had some pain and some hurt and some anger, some bitterness, that the Lord showed you what it was, and you got and He took it out, and He got rid of it. Amen. It's because He said, "Forgive that person right now." See, the problem is with unforgiveness. If you're not forgiving, it'll eat you on the inside. It'll eat you alive. Amen. Unforgiveness eats you. It doesn't eat the other person. They really forgot about it. Amen. They forgot about it. They're not thinking about you. They're not spending near as much time thinking about you as you are thinking about them and what they did. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just forgive so-and-so. I forgive them right now. Whoever that is, right now, in Jesus' name, just forgive them. Now, I'm not asking you to feel it. I'm just asking you to obey God, because obeying God means that... All that means is not because God's mad at you. What it means is He's giving you a gift. He's giving you the gift of forgiveness to set you free. Okay? He's giving you a gift of forgiveness to set you free. And so when you're obedient to God, He said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that splinter out. It's going to hurt. Yeah, we'll take it out anyway. Okay, so now it's out. Glory to God. You obeyed God. It didn't feel good, but you obeyed God. And all of a sudden, now you're healed. All of a sudden, now you're healed. You're healing. Amen? Listen, you'll be healed, being healed. Obedience to God is not so God will be happy and not be mad. It's for your blessing and benefit so that you hear the word of the Lord and so that you're set free from your wickedness and your sins. God does that because He's showing you things one at a time. He doesn't tell you to fix yourself. He just fixes you. He just tells you what it is and what He's working on. Then He may tell you just turn left. Well, turning left, if you'll turn left just like He told you to, then you'll be good. Everything, you know, you won't go into water. Amen? You stay on your lane. You won't crash into the, you know, Hummer next door. You know, you and your smart car. Don't be taken up with a Hummer. Just follow Jesus. Amen? I'm telling you. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those things that you weren't going to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, don't do them and don't say them. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do this in my name. You are a jerk, and I'm going to beat you. No, don't do that one. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus, do all of the, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Whatever you're going to do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to the Father, God and the Father by Him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 said, by Him, by Jesus, therefore let us offer, through Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Everybody say continually. Let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, what's that? What's the sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Giving thanks to His name. So, the sacrifice of praise is giving thanks to His name. Did y'all read that verse? You want to write it down? Hebrews 13, 15. Hebrews 13, 15. So by Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, because He has made us righteous and able to come into the kingdom of, into the throne of God, into His presence, let us offer the sacrifice of God, of praise to God continually, which is the fruit of our lips, our speaking lips, giving thanks to His name. That's the sacrifice of praise. So giving thanks to His name. Remember, Father, I just love You and give You thanks today. I'm walking from my office to the restaurant. I'm walking from my office back to somebody else's office. And they're trouble today. Dr. So-and-so. Remember him? Yeah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You love me. Thank You, Lord, that You're using me to demonstrate Your goodness and Your mercy. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you doing it? Hallelujah. Is this like kind of rolling here? Say amen. Make me feel good. Oh, good. Amen. Praise God. Hope you got these. Ezra 3:1, Ephesians 5:20, Colossians 1:12, Colossians 3:17, Hebrews 13:15. Luke 22. We're just talking about Thanksgiving. You know what? You know, we can stay here all afternoon because I've got all these scriptures that I didn't bring. Well, we can look them up. I got a smartphone here, man. I got blue letter Bible on it. We could just have a banquet this afternoon. As it is, we're just having a continental breakfast. Amen. Luke 22:19, and Jesus took bread and He gave thanks and He broke it and He gave it to them saying, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Remember to give thanks for the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, when Jesus was sitting at the table, He picked up bread. He didn't go down to the Allsbury bookstore. He picked up the bread that was on the table. He just picked up the bread on the table. Amen? Just picked up the bread on the table and said, hey, it's bread. Take this bread. Eat it. Because He gave character to that bread. That particular bread. Doesn't need to be any special bread. We have house church and we have communion every week in house church. Whatever we got, we use. Amen. Whatever bread we have, we use because it's bread. It's bread. It's bread you eat. Amen. It's not holy bread. It's not bread that's been specially anointed by holy folks down there at the Senate office, at the main office of the local First Church of so and so. Amen. It's not. This is bread that God said, remember bread. Because this bread, the bread that you eat, is my body. I'm the bread of life. John, verse 6, or chapter 6, says, if any man does not eat my blood and drink my flesh, he has no part in me. And many of them went back from that time because they were, ooh, what's that? You guys crazy. No. He said, if anybody does not eat my flesh and drink, did I do that backwards? No, I'm sorry. I always mess up. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Thank God for messing up. Glory to God. You know, I could get upset and embarrassed about that. And if I was in front of 20,000 people, I probably would. No, I'm determined I wouldn't. Amen. Probably got 20,000 people going to listen to this tonight. And on the internet, who knows? Doesn't matter. I'll never know. But if any man does not eat my flesh or drink my blood, he has no part in me. And he said that back in chapter 6. That was early on in the ministry. And then he brings it back, brings it into John chapter 13 and 14 in the Passover meal. And so what he's doing there is he's demonstrating now the eating of his flesh and the drinking of his blood, which is taking his sacrifice, his person, because that's what's your life. His body, his blood, that's your life. Amen? So he says, give thanks. Give thanks. So he took bread and gave thanks. So he gave thanks to the Father for the bread. Why? Because that bread is given to his disciples. Who's the disciples? Anybody here a disciple? And me. Say, I am. All right, there's two of you. Praise the Lord, all of you. All of you, anybody who is called upon the name of the Lord knows Jesus shall be saved. Amen. John 6, which is the same chapter, but a different story. And Jesus took the loaves and the fishes. John 6:11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he gave thanks again. Yeah, every time you're having the bread around, you need to give thanks. Amen. Praise God. See, these are simple things to do to acknowledge and to recognize the presence of God among us. Amen? That every day you recognize and give thanks. You make a practice. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till you're not at school. Don't wait till you're not at church. I mean, don't wait till you're at church. Or don't wait. Don't give thanks at home before you go to school or go to work. Be ready to give thanks in every place, in all times, all places. Amen? Giving thanks. Get ready to give thanks. Prepare to give thanks. Give thanks every day. Out of your mouth. Open your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Practice with your lips and your jaws. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And you can practice. See, here you can say it loud, but at other places you might just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that everything is always going my way. There's nothing going against me because I'm in your kingdom. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Let your children hear you mumble. Mom, what'd you say? What'd you say? So Shannon, you know, his mom's, Mom, what'd you say? Thank you, Jesus. Because your children hear you. Amen? Your children hear you. Your children hear you. So let them hear you say, thank you, Jesus, instead of the other thing. So, amen. Say that enough. Don't do that. Let go of that. Put that down. Isn't that right, Charlene? Praise the Lord. Isn't that right, Reed? Yeah, see? Hallelujah. It's good to relax when you preach. It may take longer, but it's okay. Amen. All right. I want to look at Acts 27. Turn over there, please. Did I already tell you to do that once? Acts 27. No, I started with the other one. But we're not going to do that. Acts 27. Let the story in the back of the book of Acts. All right. And I was thinking about reading you the whole story, but I may not. I want you to read it, though. Very interesting story here in the back book of Acts, chapter 27. Let's read. Oh, I'm going to start with it. Okay. And when it was determined that we, this is Paul being taken to Rome. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, you see, there's your geography lesson. Yeah, Italy in the Bible, but you didn't know that. Some of you might not have known there was Italy in the Bible. You thought it was just Rome, just a big old boot called Rome. No, there was Italy. It was part of Italy, or Italy was, you know, there. Now you say this is written in 1611. Well, I know that. Amen. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And entering into a ship of Adramidium, who said that? I should have practiced this. Adramidium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, who was with us. And the next day we touched Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul to give him liberty. Luke, the physician, is writing this story. So he's relating the story. So he's talking about Paul. Paul didn't write it. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go to his friends to refresh himself. And when he had launched from there, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Winds were rough. And when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us in it. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against us, Cnidus and the wind and not allowing us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and hardly just passing it, came to a place which was called the Fair Havens, near where too was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said to them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be hurt with much damage, not only with the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. In other words, we're in for a rough show. We're in for a rough trip. I've heard the Lord. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Well, that guy's just a preacher. I think we'd just not listen to him. And because the haven was not commodious to winter, a good place to winter in, the more part, most of us advised to depart from there also, if by any means that they might attain to Phoenicia to spend the winter there, which is a haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, everything looked like it was going our way. A lot of times things look like they're going your way, don't they? Well, we've made a decision based on the available information. And everything was kind of going our way, so we looked like we had it pretty good. That sounds like this world, doesn't it? Everything looked like it was going our way. We're doing okay. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. We just quit trying to control it. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck rail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, so they started throwing things overboard. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, so we're in big trouble, aren't we? Anybody been in big trouble like this? You headed one direction and all of a sudden, storm came up. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened to me, and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Next time, listen to God, first of all. And now, I exhort you, be of good cheer. What? Here we are in the biggest mess we've ever been in, and we ignored the man of God, and he says, cheer up. Weirdo. But he's in the boat with you. He's not like back on the land, you know, on television or something. I told y'all you should have heard God. No, he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. First thing, what? I exhort you to be of good cheer. You're in trouble? Be of good cheer. Begin to thank God. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, here it is again, be of good cheer. I mean, they think he's crazy. Huh? Some people might think you're crazy. It's a good story, isn't it? So two times he told them, be of good cheer. Cheer up. However, we must be cast upon a certain island. Okay, let me get back to 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. It will be even as. Can you say that? It will be even as it was told me. Remember what Mary said? Be it unto me according to thy word. Somebody thought Mary had a little too much to drink that night. Saw an angel, said, you're going to have a baby. But she said, be it unto me according to your word. And Paul says, we shall be, even as it was told to me. However, we must cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, 14 nights, my goodness, they've been out there, haven't they? Have y'all ever been out there for 14 nights? In the sea, throwing everything overboard. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. There's land out there. And they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. They got a, there was radar back then. Amen. Got the radar going. Hey, hey. Or they clanged on a thing and wait till the sound came back. So they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. We're getting closer. Then, fearing lest they had fallen up the ship, would have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Lord, bring the day so we can see. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat in the sea, they were going to escape. They were going to, let's get in the lifeboat and get out, get away. Under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. In other words, they were lying. They were letting down the lifeboat. They're going to get away. You know, well, we're putting anchors out. No, you're letting the boat down. I know what you're doing. You guys are fixing to try to take the only boat on the ship and get out of here. Trying to make it to land. Let the rest of us fend for ourselves. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these would stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes off the boat and let her fall off. In other words, give it up. Give up your only hope. Give up your only human hope. You know, because sometimes your human hope is not hope at all. Amen. Give up your only hope. Your only hope is not what you think it is. Your one hope is to give thanks. And while the day was coming on, verse 33, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. See, you're not going to eat anything because you're afraid you're going to, you know, lose everything. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. Interesting comment. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Quit trying to do something to, see, some folks are, you know, they're busy fasting because you're going to move God. Help us, help us, help us. Said, oh, just go ahead and eat. Go ahead and eat. You need some food, eat. Now, if God tells you to fast, you fast. But if you're just fasting on your own, you're silly. You've got to listen to God. Amen? Because you're trying to move God. God just tells you, you fast when God tells you to fast. Because it's not for punishment. It's not for, you know, beating yourself up. Amen? It's to obey God for His purpose. So He said that there shall not fall a hair from any of the head of you. Verse 35, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread. He gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. Remember the bread? When he had thus spoken, he took the bread, and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. Giving thanks to God in the presence of them all. Amen? All those who are fearful, you begin to give thanks. When people are fearful, you begin to give thanks to God in front of them. Amen? Because you have a promise and you have a hope that they don't have. But you're giving it to them. See, you're giving it to them. You're not telling them, well, I got hope and you don't. You tell them, no, you got hope. And that's the reason I'm giving thanks to God in front of you all. Not a hair of your head will be lost. So he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, that's what I was heading for, is thanksgiving, amen? And he began to eat, and then they were all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. So all of a sudden, you know, you start rejoicing, you start being of good cheer, you start encouraging one another, you start building people up, they start listening, they start hearing you. Then they were all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. And we were all in the ship, 216 souls. When they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And it was day, they knew not, they didn't see the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded to, if it were possible, to thrust the ship. And when taking the anchors, they committed themselves to the sea. They loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward the shore. And following into a place where the seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart stuck fast and they remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could cast themselves into the sea and get to the land. And the rest, some on boards and some on pieces of the broken ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, according to the word of the Lord. Giving thanks. Luke chapter 17. Short story. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. We're almost there. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And they lifted up their voices and said, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, Jesus, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. These are lepers. Well, what do you mean, go show yourself to the priests? We're not allowed to go over there. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed as they went, because they went believing God believing what Jesus said. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found any that return to give glory to God except the stranger. And they said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, last two scriptures. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we're not talking about Indians and corn. And planting a fish with your corn to make sure that your corn grows. We're talking about giving thanks to God as those who have been redeemed. Amen? Giving thanks to God. Practice. Open your mouth daily. Mumbling. Y'all are good at that anyway. Mumbling. Amen? Some of you are not very loud. Just mumble. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. You know, you'll get louder. I want you to begin to give thanks. Just you know, listen, because some of you just nervous people somehow or another. You know, and you're at least that's your claim. You'll claim you're not an outward extrovert. Some of you. Amen? So I want you to begin to give thanks. Just under your breath. Just thank you, Jesus. Just thank you, Jesus. I just want you to be practical. I don't want to be practical with you. I want to help you. Amen? I want to help you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You practicing right now? Let's just mumble. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you nervous people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for food. Thank you, Lord, for my feet. Thank you, Lord, for my fingers. All 10 of them. Hallelujah. I've got a brother who's thanking God for 9.5 fingers because he plays guitar with 4.5 of them. Amen? Hallelujah. See? You got all 5. All 10. So far. Praise the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ Jesus, since you're in Christ Jesus, concerning you, because you're in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're in Him and He's in you, it's His will that you give thanks. Hallelujah. Anybody in Christ today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, go figure. If I'm dead, how can I live? I thought I was crucified. Now I'm living. Because the life that I now live in this flesh body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. 2 Timothy 2:13, here it is. But we are bound to give thanks always to God. 2 Corinthians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So God, He's giving thanks for you. Paul's giving thanks for you. We're bound always to give thanks for you. Pastor Jim and I give thanks for you. We're giving thanks for you. Brethren, sister, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Not sanctification of your hard work. Silly people. It's not through sanctification of your hard work. It's sanctification through the Spirit of the living God. And belief of the truth. Belief of the truth, sanctification of the Spirit. That's salvation. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank you. Close your eyes. Lord, don't close your eyes. Whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. Father, I just love you and give you praise. I thank you, Lord God. I'm thanking you today because my feet work. I'm thanking you today because my tongue works. I thank you, Lord God, today, whether my tongue would work or not. I thank you for this Bible that's sitting here on the desk. I thank you, Lord God, for food. I thank you, Lord God, right now for families such as they are. Husbands, wives, daughters, sons, uncles, aunts, pastors, brothers and sisters in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I thank you for a bed to sleep in. I thank you, Lord God, right now. Thank you for everything. Lord, are you mumbling right now? Thank you, Jesus. Practice. Learning how to give thanks. See, this will change your life, you're giving thanks. Amen? Wake up tomorrow and do it again. When you rise up, when you resurrect from the dead, your eyes pop open, your blanket rolls off. Just thanking God again. Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for my kids. Lord, thank you for them being married. Thank you, Lord God, for them not being married. Oh, thank God for that sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for spreading the gospel. Thank you for those folks who Lori is ministering with, Lord God, for their dedication and for their heart to minister, Lord. Father, thank you for causing us to put a hand to that. If you just have called us to put a hand to that, Lord God, thank you for it. And whatever it is, maybe it's a little thing, but that we'd not be burdened over it in a big thing. Praying in other tongues, lifting up, just glorifying God, praying in other tongues. You need baptism in the Holy Spirit? We'll lay hands on you. You get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again. Maybe you never were born again. Maybe you need to know Jesus personally. Maybe you just went to church all your life and you've never been born again. You said, so you have to know Jesus today. You want to know Jesus today. You want to know that your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to be healed today. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. You got a scripture in your mouth? Just start mumbling that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no other name under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.